Well, as you may have noticed, the new HVAC heating air conditioning system is not complete. And I would invite you to be praying this week. I really invite you to please pray that it'll get completed. There's just been kind of some different setbacks that have slowed it down. And I just invite you to please be praying. And may, as the fans go on, as your bulletins act as fans, may those be reminding you today of just to be praying this week. And the kids are heading out right now to Kids Alive, and I invite them to have a great time out there. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 21 today. So I invite you to grab your Bibles or the pew Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 21. Let me start with this question. If you were God, and I know that's a hard way to start a sentence, because you aren't God, and even though we often try to act like we are, we aren't. And this is a very good thing. In fact, I thank God nearly every day that you and I are not God. Nevertheless, if you were God and you had finally moved your people into this promised land, you'd taken them out of slavery in Egypt and you'd taken them successfully across the desert, and then you move them into the promised land to be a new kind of a nation, a holy priesthood that would show the world how life is supposed to be lived in reverence and in relationship to God the Creator. How would you set that up? One of the things that God had already done in His wisdom is set aside one tribe, the Levites, to be the priesthood among the nation of Israel. And while they were wandering in the desert, the three divisions of the Levite tribe, the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites, I don't expect you to remember those, but that's what they were, had special responsibility. The Kohathites, and that was the group, the division from which Moses and Aaron came, they were responsible for the Ark of the Covenant. And the Gershonites were responsible for the cords and the curtains and the coverings of the tabernacle. And the Merarites were responsible for the infrastructure of the tabernacle, the boards and the bars and the pillars and pins, etc. And most of you already know the story of their wandering, that God would guide them to a spot where they would stay. And the Levites then would go to work. They would set up the tabernacle and get it all ready to go and do their work, putting the Ark of the Covenant in its place. And when God would take them to a different place, they would do the same thing over again. But everything changed when they settled into the Promised Land. They weren't wanderers anymore. They didn't need to move the tabernacle from place to place. They didn't need to move the Ark of the Covenant anymore. They were to be inhabitants of this new land that God had given them. So back to the opening question, if you were God and you were in charge of setting up a sustainable living arrangement for your people, all the tribes of Israel, to that a living arrangement that would equip them to be the people of God, a holy nation, a priesthood to the world, how would you set that up? Well, a huge part of God's answer to that was that He gave them the law. He gave them the law to know how to live. The law was supposed to keep them centered on living God's way in God's world. But then as they were moving into this new place, there was simply the logistic of where they would live in the land, kind of like a family moving into a new house and deciding who gets which room. And that's when the whole middle section of Joshua is about. Joshua chapter 14 through 19 is the place where God's instructions are given for the allotment of the land amongst all the tribes. That is, every tribe except one, the Levites. The Levites weren't given any land of their own. And we're reminded of that several times of that in the chapters about the allotment. Joshua 13:14 says, "But to the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them." Joshua 13:33, "But to the tribe of Levi Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them." Joshua 14:4, "The Levites received no share of the land." And it keeps going, these little reminders. So what about the poor Levites? They didn't inherit any land of their own. So their living situation was up in the air. And now that the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant weren't being moved around every day, their primary work was up in the air too. And as the nation of Israel settled into their new territory, it wasn't clear how the Levites would serve them as their priesthood. So if you were God, what would you do with these Levites so that they could continue to serve as priests to God's people? Well, God's answer to that is found in Joshua chapter 21. If you haven't turned there already, I invite you to turn there now, and or in your own Bible or in the pew Bible. Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Hear now God's holy word. It says, "Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh and Canaan, and said to them, 'The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in, with pasture lands for our livestock.' So as the Lord commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can't hear you very well because the fans are going, so you got to be a little louder. This is the word of the Lord. There you are. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. And I pray that you would shape us by it, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Not that we would just know more information about the Merarites or the Kohathites or the Gershonites, but God, that we would be changed today because of your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. When I turned 16, I owned a 1965 Jeep half-ton four-wheel drive pickup. It was very cool, but it didn't run. And I didn't drive it regularly until I was 18. And even then, the average person would have looked at it and considered it not roadworthy. So during my first couple years of driving, my parents let me use one of their family cars. It was their car, and I just got to use it. And that's kind of the way it was for the Levites. The Levites were to be given cities to live in, but these cities actually wouldn't really belong to them. They still belonged to the other tribes. And up to this point in the text, those particular cities had not yet been identified. And so after all the land had been allotted and all the other tribes knew where they were going to be, the family heads of the Levites came to the nation's leaders and reminded them. This wasn't a question. It was a reminder in verse 2. "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock." And that was a command that was actually given back in Numbers chapter 35, the same chapter that we flipped back to last week. And in Numbers chapter 35, verses 2 and 3, God says to Moses, who then shares it with the rest of the community, "Command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance of the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for their cattle, flocks, and all their other livestock." So this was God's plan for the Levites. They weren't supposed to have their own territory. They were supposed to live in towns allotted to them within the other tribes and territories. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. And it's seemingly without hesitation or without any kind of mumbling, "Oh, why do we have to give these cities away? It doesn't seem..." We don't have any of that. Look back at Joshua 21, verse 3. It says, "So as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance." And then the rest of the verses in chapter 21, verses 4 through 42, describe the allotment of these particular cities that were designated for the Levites. First, in verses 9 through 26, we have the Kohathites. And the Kohathites were given 13 cities from the tribes of Judah and Simeon and Benjamin. And they were given 10 cities from the tribes of Dan, Ephraim, and the western half of Manasseh. And then you have the Gershonites in verses 27 through 33. You can kind of follow along as you look in your Bibles there. The Gershonites were given 13 cities from the tribes of Issachar and Asher and Naphtali, and then the eastern half of Manasseh. And then finally, the good old Merarites. And as detailed in verses 34 through 40, they were given 12 cities from the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Zebulun. So, how many does that add up to? Look in verse 41 for a hint. If you answered, I can't hear you anyway. But they were given a total of 48 cities. And to help you visualize this, how these cities were distributed, I want you to look at this picture, if we can pull it up. There should be a, and maybe there it is already, you've already seen it. The picture of how the cities were distributed. the tribe of Judah, of Simeon isn't listed there, but it's just down there in the southern part of Judah. And those little red circles, those are the cities of refuge that we talked about last week. Remember, we talked about how they were kind of spread throughout on either side of the river. 1, 2, 3 on the west and 1, 2, 3 on the east. And those cities of refuge were also Levitical cities. So the Levites were in charge of operating those cities of refuge. What is it? And what do you notice as you look at all those dots? One of the things I notice is that they're spread throughout the whole land. They're not evenly distributed perfectly, every square 10 miles or something. But they really are found in every part of the region. And that was seems to be God's desire. Every region of the country had these cities. So how did God set up the Levites? So that they could continue to serve the whole people as priests. You can just leave that picture up there. How did he do that? He dispersed them. He sent them north and south and east and west. He spread them all out, all over the promised land, so that their ministry wouldn't be confined to one space. Yes, there was a spiritual center of Shiloh where the tabernacle and the tent of meeting had been permanently set up. And undoubtedly there were priests who somehow rotated through the operation of the tabernacle, but God didn't choose for them to all stay right there in Shiloh. He spread them out intentionally. And the scriptures show us that the Levites did much more than simply operate the tabernacle. They were teachers, they were judges, they were scribes, they were gatekeepers, they were medical attendants, they were musicians. And it seems to me that God wanted to make these Levitical cities spread throughout the land. He wanted to make them to be spiritual centers of activity for the region, where people could come and get help, where people could come and find refuge, where people could come to be made clean, where people could come to hear the word of God. And there were also places designated by God to saturate the whole land with the reminder of God's presence, so that they wouldn't forget the story, their story, of God's salvation and deliverance, and so that the people of God could live out the call of God, so that the world would know God through them. So here's the question. So what? Right? I mean, what is this random text in Joshua chapter 21 about these Levitical cities and giving all the details of their names? What does that have to do with First Presbyterian Church Fresno in 2015? Well, you might not be surprised, but it turns out that I think there's a huge connection. You see, the Promised Land was set up to have a primary worship center. And in the time of Joshua, that center was the city of Shiloh. It wasn't later until David's time that Jerusalem became that primary center of worship for Israel. So in Joshua's time, the feasts and the celebrations would have been occurring in Shiloh. That's where the tent of meeting was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was located. But what about the rest of the year? What about the everyday life of the people of Israel? God uses the dispersion of the priests to make sure that every part of the nation is experiencing the priestly ministry. And to me, that sounds a lot like what we're trying to do here at First Presbyterian Church. You know, since the inception of this church, we've had a heart for the city, for the whole city. And as the city has grown, so has the footprint of this congregation. We live to the north and the south and the east and the west. And yes, we have a worship center, don't we? Right here in the heart of the city, right here at M and Calaveras. But the church is not contained to this corner, right? This building is not the church. You are the church. And so we gather here in this building on Sunday mornings for worship and various other activities during the week. But most of us live most of our lives away from this campus, in our homes and in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces. Aren't we called to worship in those places as well? Aren't we called to be the royal priesthood? To show the world who God is and how to live God's way? Well, this is exactly what we're trying to learn how to do together in our community groups. You see, Joshua didn't send the Levites out one by one. Do you notice that? Or even just as individual families. What did he do? He sent them out to be cities in the midst of the territory, in the midst of the whole land. Our community groups are designed to help us be mission communities in the context of our whole city. There's ministry that happens here, and there's ministry that happens out there, all around us, and all of it is to pursue the mission that God has given us together as a church to engage together in Christ's work of making disciples for the redeeming transformation of our city and our world. And beloved, this week we've been reminded just how much our world needs that redeeming transformation. This week we've been reminded once again of the evil that exists in our world. We're appalled by the senseless violence that naturally grows out of racism. The question is, how do we respond? Do we become less hospitable to guests on Sunday morning? Do we become more isolated in our Christian enclaves? Do we avoid doing dangerous things for the sake of the gospel? Do we retreat in the face of evil? No. We continue to gather for worship, just like Mother Emmanuel Church did this morning in Charleston, waving their fans, giving their praises, lifting up the name of Jesus. We continue to move out as well. We continue to move out to every part of the city to be part of what God is doing for His redeeming transformation. And why do we do that? We do that because God, the Son, took on flesh and moved into our neighborhood. He was sent by the Father from the safety of heaven to the danger of earth, full of grace and truth, to be our salvation. He lived life exactly the way that it was meant to be lived, in perfect obedience to God the Father. He submitted Himself to death on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And then on the third day, He rose from the dead victoriously to lead the disciples forward in the mission of God. And then He ascended back to the Father, from whence He will come again in God's perfect timing to bring everything under His lordship, to wipe out every kind of evil and to bring an end to racism and to bring an end to violence and to bring an end to hatred. And because of that, He is the answer. He's the answer to the hatred in our hearts. He's the answer to the injustice in our neighborhoods and in our city. He's the answer to the brokenness of our lives. He is the answer to the deceptions of our culture. He is the answer. And so we pray, church, come, Lord Jesus, come. But while He waits for the Father's word to return, He does not leave His disciples alone. No, He sends the Holy Spirit to empower every disciple, every one of you, if you are a believer, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be living out the continuance of His mission. And that's why we worship. That's why we move out. That's why we continue to pursue relationship beyond these walls. Just like God cared about the whole nation of Israel, He cares about every neighborhood of this city. Do you? Just like God sent the Levites to live in every part of the land, He sends His people, disciples of Jesus, to live in every part of the city. Are you willing to go where He tells you to go? Are you willing to be the missionary people of God? Are you willing to make your home a place of ministry rather than a place of hiding? And certainly the model of relocating for the sake of participating in God's redeeming transformation of our city has been modeled well for us here at First Presbyterian Church Fresno. If God asks you, will you go? I've been praying for God to send some of you some of us to intentionally live into the neighborhood that God is popping up right around us? Have you seen all the lofts and all the urban units right here within steps of us? Imagine if we had hundreds of people walking from their loft or their place down here to worship with us on Sunday morning. Imagine them experiencing the power and the love of Christ, the redeeming transformation that's found in relationship with Him. I've been praying that God would send more of us to the Southwest and to the Southeast. And having those people come won't be something that just happens by opening up the doors and putting up a nice sign. We have to go and build sustainable relationships with people outside the walls of the church. Many of you already live in the spot that God wants you to live. The question is, do you believe that God has a call on you to love those neighbors for the sake of the gospel? You see, God in His design for the nation of Israel dispersed the priests throughout the whole land so that every tribe would remember the story. They would remember what God had done for them. And now, church, through Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus sends out us to every part of the city that we might manifest His kingdom together and proclaim the good news of Jesus. God has made us His royal priesthood. Now let us live it out together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give You praise for Your wisdom, Your sovereignty, Your knowledge, Your foresight. You knew what You were doing when You spread those Levitical towns and cities all over the region so that the whole nation might continue to stay connected with You, their God, that the priests might continue to do their work to the whole of Israel instead of just being in one spot where the people all had to come to them. They moved out. God, I pray that by Your Spirit, You would move us out, that You would protect us from reeling back in the midst of danger, in the midst of hatred, in the midst of persecution, that You would encourage us by Your Spirit to move out and to live intentionally wherever You called us to live, for the sake of sharing Christ with every person, for the sake of participating with Your Spirit in the redeeming transformation of this city and of Your world. Use us, God. Challenge us. Inspire us. Shake us up. Take us out of our box for the sake of the mission that You've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen.